It is so good to be here. I just love Trey and the crew here. They put together such an amazing team. God is doing amazing things here in this church. He really is. I know some of you are new, some of you are guests, and some of you have been here a long time, but this church is on the move and affecting Myrtle Beach, and it is so cool to see a group of adults, particularly young adults, who are really making a huge impact in our culture. And just to let you know a little bit, I've been pastor here in this region for 5 years. We've moved to Knoxville, and we're starting something called the Ignite Church Multiplication Network, and we're launching churches all around this region of the United States, and we've been training. People ask me how I like living in Knoxville. I say, I really don't know. I mostly just do laundry there, but it's a great place to do laundry from, and we picked there because it's easy to travel in this region. And so anyway, we're loving coming back here, connecting at the beach. I'm so glad you're here. If you have your Bibles, pull them out. We're going to be looking at Romans, the eighth chapter. And this particular passage of Scripture is a powerful passage of Scripture, powerful. Most people who go to church today don't really have any clue why they went to church. They don't really know how it benefits them other than they really ought to go, or maybe their mom was messing with them and you got to start going to church, or maybe their spouse, or I don't know what it is. Something got them to go to church, or maybe it's just because they've done church for so long, they just do church. And maybe there's just a sense of ought to, or ritual, or routine, or rules. And you know, it's funny because sometimes in the current context, you get a cool, amazing band like this. It just rocks and it's fresh and different. And yet sometimes in our hearts, we're the same, aren't we? We still do the same things for the same wrong reasons, because we're trying to appease God or make God happier. We're not even sure why. Why are we doing this? Why did you come today? Maybe it's to be good. Maybe it's to get better, or maybe it's to connect a little bit with God. Or it's hard to even explain for a lot of people why people go to church and why. And so what happens is sometimes they think, well, I'm just going to be good. I just want to replace the bad. I want to do less bad and more good. I want to make good over bad. I just want to get better. I just want to be a better person. I just want to get better at what I'm doing. I want to be. And those are good motivations. It's just not what God calls us to do. This morning when we look in this passage in Romans the 8th chapter, the Apostle Paul is reflecting the life of Christ, and he says, Jesus is not interested in you just doing good rules or doing things better. In fact, he leads us to realize there's a whole new way of living that he's motivating us to, a whole different way of thinking about God and about yourself and about life. He wants to give you a whole new paradigm. And so in this passage in Romans the 8th chapter, he begins to talk about that. And what happens is it's a new way to do things differently. And so he's telling us here, I call this message today, Just Say Help. And it's not really about just being bad or being good. It's just say help. I'm going to explain what that means as we go. But the reality is he wants us to realize that it's not morality. It's not how good or bad you can be. We're going to talk this morning about the fact that God has given us his Spirit. The Spirit of God wants to live inside of you and wants to live inside of me and wants to make us different. But the only way that you can engage the Spirit of God is not by being good enough to impress him, or being better, or working harder at it, but just simply to say, help. I need help. I need you in my life. And so here's the passage we're going to be reading this morning, Romans 8, 1. It says, I'm just going to read the whole thing, and we're going to go back through it. Romans 8, 1, and hopefully you can follow. It says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Says verse 2, for through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Goes on and explains it this way. It says in verse 5, he says, for those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the sinful nature desires. And those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. It says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. And those who are controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. This particular passage, the Apostle Paul begins by saying this phrase right here. There is now no condemnation. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Here's what gets us. We go around feeling condemned all the time. We're always, in America, we're a condemning nation. We condemn other people. We condemn our president. We condemn our leaders. We just speak negative stuff. We speak, all kinds of crazy stuff goes on. And there's stuff that just, I mean, there's a whole Anthony Weiner thing that was going on this past week. I'm telling you, that was a news story that had to be invented by a seventh grade boy. I mean, a congressman named Weiner and the sex scandals. I'm just telling you, but what happens is there's such a condemnation culture that we speak such negative, vile, critical condemnation of each other. And what happens is we really, we live in a culture where we go around feeling condemned. And we condemn other people on the regular basis. And here's the thing. Condemnation is not of God. That's what this passage says. Conviction is of God. It says the Holy Spirit, he says, he convicts the world of sin, it tells us in John. But it says right here in this passage, condemnation is not of God. So if you're walking around feeling condemned, that's not of God. That's of the enemy. That's of your spiritual enemy. So your condemnation, your self-condemnation, your condemnation of others, that's not how God works. There is therefore now, say it with me, there is now no condemnation. Say it again. There is now no condemnation. That was still, use your outside voice to read this passage, okay? Not the inside voice, your outside voice. Say it with me. There is now no condemnation for those who are in, there is no condemnation for those that are what? In what? In Christ Jesus. And what he's saying is, it's not a good or bad thing. It's not trying to be gooder. It's not trying to be less badder. It's trying to be living in the Spirit. He said, that's what we want to be living in. He says, and then it goes on and says this. He explains it like this. He said, through Christ Jesus. Let's read this together in our outside voice together. It says, through Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of. So there's two laws at work. There's two laws that are working in your life and in my life. He says, the law of life in the Spirit and the law of sin and death. And he goes on and explains it like this. He said, the law of the Spirit. He says, the law of the Spirit, he gives life. The Spirit of God wants to give life to you, wants to give life to me. And so he gives us this perspective. He said, the goal is to set you free so you're not living under the condemnation of what you've been living under. He said, you probably don't remember this. There's this law called Archimedes' Principle, okay? Here's what Archimedes' Principle is. It's the law of gravity and the law of buoyancy. Okay, I selected a rock today, okay? And this is not a very buoyant rock. Okay, I won't throw it, I promise. The front row's going, you look like a dangerous man. Okay, I'll be okay, you're safe. I'll do my best to hold on to the rock. But see, now, this rock weighs about 25 pounds, all right? And how many of you think this rock's going to float? No takers. Okay, no takers. Okay, but have you ever seen a boat that weighs more than 25 pounds? Yeah. Yeah, in fact, you know, boats are made, they make concrete boats. There are boats that are made out of heavier material than even this. It's not weight. It's the law of buoyancy. And there's this displacement and law and these principles. I'm not going to go into, sixth grade physical science. But there's two laws at work. Now, when a ship is floating, does it have the law of gravity at work? Yeah, the law of gravity works. But the law of buoyancy is greater than the law of gravity. And so when the law of buoyancy overcomes the law of gravity, the ship floats. When the law of gravity overcomes the law of buoyancy, it's like this rock. Other way some of you swim. Just, and what happens is, without buoyancy, you sink. And what happens in the law of the Spirit and the law of life, the Scripture tells us, is the law of the Spirit overtakes the law of the flesh. And when the law of the Spirit overtakes the law of flesh, something happens. You live differently. And so when you and I begin to understand that the scriptures are not here to give us condemnation or to make us feel small or little or belittled, but the scriptures are here to show us God's laws of buoyancy, God's laws of freedom. We have such a twisted perspective that we don't understand what the law of the Spirit is. And so therefore, when we understand this, we don't really get what God is doing in this process with the law of buoyancy and the law of gravity. It says he sets you free from the law of sin and death. And so whenever you and I allow God's Spirit to change us and to lift us and to affect us, we overcome the law of sin and death. And that's good news. The law of sin and death is ruling and reigning in your family. The law of sin and death is affecting your kids. The law of sin and death is affecting your work and this school and this town. The law of sin and death is at ruling and reigning. And so it's easy to kind of go, this sucks. This is terrible. I just don't want to. But here's, you have been called to be salt and light, Jesus says. You are to be illuminators and stimulators of taste. And you are to be preservers. You're to be different kinds of people. And so God calls you and I to live differently. And he says, here's the thing. I want you to live differently with the, not to live under the law of sin and death, but to live differently. So which is it going to be? Which is going to rule in your life? The law of life or the law of death? The law of life wants to lift you to a different place, and it takes God's Spirit. So how do we get God's Spirit to work in our life? This thing about the Spirit of God, maybe you've heard about him. Maybe it's kind of, he's kind of freaked you out. Maybe you say, I'm okay with the Father and the Son. It's just that Spirit guy that kind of wigs me out. It's like, I don't get him. I don't understand him. But there's the Bible talks about the three being one, and there's power in the law of life. And here's what Jesus says. He says in John 14:16, he gives us a little brief lesson about the Spirit. He says, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you a helper. So here's this word, keep my commandments. What does he say when he mean when he says, keep my commandments? There it sounds like he's going off in that legalistic rule thing. And so what is he talking about? Jesus breaks it down like this. He says in another passage in Matthew, he says, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. I'm not going to hammer you with laws and rules. You know what my commandment is? My commandment is I want you to live according to the Spirit. I want you to live according to life. I don't want you to be bogged down by death. I don't want gravity to overtake you. I want buoyancy to lift you up, not gravity to take you down. And that image is a powerful image. That's why Jesus reminds us. He says, I want you to live differently. He says, the world cannot accept the Spirit of truth because he neither sees or knows him. Here's what he's saying. He says, I provided this vehicle for you guys to overcome sin and death, but here's what's going to happen. He says, a lot of people out there are not going to get it. Why? Because they're still stuck on trying to be good or bad. And they say, well, I'm as good as the next person. I mean, I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad person. I'm better than this person and that person. I'm better than Hitler. You say, yeah, and I can bench press more than my grandmother. I mean, what's the big deal here? The point is, it's not a matter of how good or bad you are. It has nothing to do with how moral or immoral you are. That's not what God is measuring. He's not concerned about the good or bad quotient. He's saying the world can't accept the Spirit of truth. It doesn't see. It doesn't know him. It's not even aware of him. It says, but you know him. Read this with me. Again, outside voices. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. It says, here's the thing. The Spirit, he wants to be your, what was the word that we used in the last slide? He wants to be your helper. Say it with me. Say helper. Okay, 1, 2, 3. He wants to be your helper because he doesn't want to just, see, here's the part of our problem. We use a frontier language in America. A frontier language is, help me. Help me do this. We even pray to God. Have you noticed how you pray? You go, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. And here's what translates in most of our brains. I'm going to take care of this. I've got it all under control. You just give me a little prop. Push, you know, just help me, God. I've got this. I've just about got it. Just help me a little bit. The Spirit of God doesn't want to just help you do what you're going to be doing. He says, I want to help you do what God has designed you to do. What you were meant to do, who you're supposed to be, what's your purpose. I mean, you took that breath right now. I caught you. You did. And you exhaled it right then. And that was there for a purpose. and for a reason. And the Spirit of God, He's working in your life right now, not so you can pay a mortgage, not so you can just put your kids through school or through college or have kids or get married or wherever you are in your life. The Spirit of God is working in your life so that you can be engaged in His purpose. And that's when you have to just simply say the word help. Say the word help. Not help me, but one, two, three, help. Just help. Help is different from help me. Help is like, I'm just cutting to the chase. Help. And that's what the Spirit of God says. I want to be your helper. He says, but you know Him, and He lives within you. He's going to be in you. He's going to live and work in your life and be different. He says, you can know Him. You can live in Him. You can be actively connected. You know, this is a shot of when we lived a few years ago in Israel. When we lived in Israel, there's this place on the Sea of Galilee that is my favorite place. We actually camped there. And there's fishermen that just have their boats, and they actually work fishing in the water still right there in the Sea of Galilee. But at the very end of Jesus' time on earth, He's already been crucified and resurrected. And there's something that happens in this last scene. In this particular scene, Jesus said, this happens. He's there on the Sea of Galilee with the guys, and it says, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He exhaled on them. He says, here's the deal. I want you guys to receive it. But has someone ever given you something and you didn't take it as a gift? I mean, you have to receive it for it to be yours. And so Jesus exhales the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them and says, this is something I want to give you. And He says, this is going to give you the ability to live differently, to float so you don't sink. Here's the thing. He said, we're going to overcome the law of the flesh with the law of the Spirit. And He breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when that happened, something significant happened. They began to live differently. And so then you begin to read the rest from John. Everything that happens from that point on goes crazy. Their lives are different. They think differently. They operate differently. They can't help but live differently and think differently. And you know, it's kind of like this. Have you ever seen someone who's trying to swim and they just can't seem to get it? Have you ever gone through lifeguard training? You know that they tell you whenever you're a lifeguard, what you don't do is you don't rush in to save a drowning person. Because what happens, they grab you and they take you under. Why? Because they're grabbing because they're about to drown. And what happens in your life and my life is there's people all around us drowning. And if we're not careful, you can join them. But the Bible says there is now no condemnation. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus wants to set you free from the law of sin and death. There is a law of death that wants to take you down. There's people all around you going down. He says, I want you to live differently. I want you to live according to the law of life in Christ Jesus, not the law of sin and death. He says, so the bottom line is quit trying to be good. Quit trying to act like a Christian. Jesus would say, I have no interest in you acting like a Christian. Why? Because you don't need to act like a Christian. There's no value to it. It becomes a game of pretense. It becomes becomes something disingenuous. It becomes something phony, fake, not real. He says, really, the way you empower the Holy Spirit is just to say, help. The world out there is turned off by Christianity because they see so many Christians trying to act like Christians unsuccessfully, and they see us as fakes. Bill Maher, I was watching him on his HBO regular thing, and I do that occasionally, and I want to yell at the TV sometimes, but he's right about some stuff. He went on this whole thing about 2 weeks ago where he said, Christians aren't real, and they're not legit, and they're a bunch of phonies because they're a bunch of fans and not followers. I thought, from the lips of Bill Maher, some of the most profound truth. This guy's a raging atheist. And what he said, Christians are turning people off because they really don't follow. They're just fans. You know what a fan does? A fan goes, woo, when you're winning, and forget them. Fair weather fans. It happens all over. Here's the thing. Jesus is not looking for fans. And so with that information, what do you do with it? You go, well, I'm gonna be a real follower. I'm gonna really try harder. I'm not gonna be one of those fake fan, fair weather fans. He says, no, be careful. Don't get into this being a good Baptist. You know what you do? You say, help. Say it with me, help. Say it with me, help. It's just a simple word. When you're tempted, just say, help, Father. When you're struggling, say, help, Spirit. When you don't know what to do, just say, help. Just say, help. And sometimes that's the shortest, most powerful prayer. Not help me, just help. Help. I need help. Why? Because I'm giving up. I'm resigning. I'm not doing my deal. I'm not continuing to go. Here's the problem. So many times we see Christianity as this incremental thing. We try to get incrementally better, you know, a little bit better. Every year I try to be a little bit better than I did last year. I'm going to try to read a little further in my Bible this year. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to get in. But here's the problem. Incrementally better is deceiving. Because God does not call us to get incrementally better. When you give your life to Christ, he doesn't say, I just want you to get incrementally better until you become a Christian. I hear people say all the time, well, I just have always been a Christian. That's an incremental program, and it doesn't agree with what the Scripture says. It says he breathed the Spirit on them, and he changed them. They changed when they inhaled the Spirit that he breathed on them. And there's this change that has to happen where you just simply say, help. And when you say help, something happens right there. When this is in the essential series that Wellspring is doing, and there's nothing more essential than figuring out how this thing works, how this whole Christian life thing works. We're boiling it down to a simple principle. There's the law of the Spirit, and there's the law of death. You've got your choice, life, death. Choose life, the Bible says in Deuteronomy. The Bible says in this particular passage in Romans 8, there is no condemnation, you're not condemned. Get over that behavior thing. Get over this whole good, bad thing. Kick the bad thing off. That's not where it's at. It's not about good or bad. It's about the Spirit of God working in your life, changing you, affecting you to live differently. And so what happens is, it's not just trying to be good. You simply say, help God, I need you. I cry out to you. The flesh has this whole series of desires, doesn't it? The Bible talks about that. We live in this flesh. We live struggling with things. And if we're not careful, it moves to behavior quickly. I'm going to try to be better. I'm going to work harder at being better. The flesh desires is not the key. It's the law of life that lifts you. See, these two laws, the way you overcome the law of death, the way you overcome the law of gravity is buoyancy. The way you overcome the flesh is life. The way you overcome the flesh is the Spirit of God. You don't have, and I don't have, the power to live differently. We just simply don't. We can't live differently. There is no way that you're going to change. There's no way I'm going to change. People don't change apart from the Spirit of God. John tells us that in John the 6th chapter. It talks about the fact that the only way you change is when God's Spirit comes down from heaven. People, I want to scream at infomercials on TV. I want to say, people say, this tablet changed my life. I lost 6 pounds in 4 days and, you know, or the Abdur changed my life. I love the Abdur. Or what, I don't know, infomercials, right? It changed my life. People say that all the time. Yeah, maybe you have a little less gut, pal. It didn't change your life. You're still the jerk you were, just with a little less gut. Congratulations, you didn't change. You're a less gutty jerk. Here's the point. You and I, we don't change, the Bible says, unless it comes from heaven. We don't change unless the Spirit of life changes the buoyancy principle from the Spirit of death. Because guess what? You're going down, the Spirit of death says. We have a spiritual enemy that says, you're going down. And if I can just get you to be so distracted by church, by good things, by being a good person, I got you. I've got you. You're mine, you pretty. Right? I mean, it's right there. And what happens is you and I, we miss it. Why? Because we're trying to be good, bad, better people going to church. And we completely miss the whole picture. Because it's the law of life in Christ Jesus. Those who live, it goes on and says in Romans, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. It says, whenever you can be living according to the flesh and being at church all the time. You can be living according to the flesh and read your Bible all the time. You can be living according to the flesh and have a prayer time all the time. Because if your whole plan is help me, make me better, help me be better, help me, it's all about me, 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 me. I didn't do so well. Forgive me, and we get stuck in that routine. We are living under the law of the flesh because we're struggling trying to get better, incrementally better, a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. The prayer you pray is not, God, help me, forgive me, I want to be better. The prayer is just four letters, H-E-L-P, help, help. Help because I'm out of control in how I live. I'm out of control in how I think. I'm out of control in my speech. I'm out of control with my kids. I'm out of control with my spouse. I am living under the law of death. The law of death is ruling and reigning in my life, and I'm supposed to be different. Those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on what the flesh desires. It says that that's how we live. That's the life that we live, under the law of the flesh. And it's not about just trying to be better, not trying to be good. But it's trying to live differently and think differently. And so you and I, it says those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what does it say right here? What the Spirit desires. Let's read that again aloud. Those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit. When you set your mind according to the Spirit, what it's saying is, God, help. God, I can't do this. Help. God, I'm struggling. Help. God, this temptation has me. Help. God, I just keep railing. Help. God, I need to live differently. Help. 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 It's I resign. I can't do this anymore. I've got to live differently. I've got to think differently. My life has to be different from this way. And the Spirit desires. That's the law that needs to be at work in you and me. And the flesh, it won't just go away as long as you just try to be better and try to improve. You know, I'm not a big spider fan. I don't freak out over spiders, but, you know, I just usually take a big wad of toilet paper and just go, yeah, you know, meet Jesus. You know, actually, I don't think spiders meet Jesus. But anyway, but this is my tough guy. Anyway, and so there's this one spider, and I don't know. They have spiders in Knoxville that have some kind of ninja training or something. There's a spider, a big black spider, and I was... because he'd been kind of running around the floor, and I don't know whether a spider can look at you. I don't know where his eyes are. So am I sneaking up on him, or is he looking right at me? I don't know, but anyway. And so I went after him, and I guess my reflexes aren't as good as they have been. Anyway, he, like, jumped sideways and, like, jumped on my hand. Okay, that's out of my parameters of comfort right there, okay? I'm cool with the toilet paper, but it's like that spider on my hand was like, I mean, it's like, to me, it was like, he's on me, okay, and I just overreacted like a little girl right there, just like no dignity in that moment, and I'm like, okay, that's exactly the way the flesh works. You know, you think you got it figured out, and you think you snuck up on him, and it's like, and before you know it, bam, you're right back where you were before. Oh, I thought I had this worked out. It's like, that's something you can't deal with. What's the word that you use when it's like this? What's the word? Help. Yeah, help, okay. Okay, I'm not doing so well. Thought I had it. I'm not doing good right now. This is not working the way I planned, okay? Not good, not good. Help. I don't need help, just help. Don't help me, just, there's a white flag right now. I'm just waving it, okay? Help. And when you get to that place, God wants to do something powerful. The Spirit wants to work in your life. It says, the mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. It's not about trying to be good, bad. It's about just trying to say help. It's trying to live differently, trying to think differently. Here's the two steps, real simple. One, step one, you just surrender. You just say, God, I'm done. God, I can't do this anymore. God, I can't be any better than I am. I'm not going to change. I can't change. People don't change. Help. And with that, the gravity that was taking you to the bottom becomes the buoyancy that lifts you above it. And the law of gravity, the law of sin and death, is overtaken by the law of buoyancy, the law of life in the Spirit. And Archimedes' principle takes place. You rise to where God wants you to live. The Christian life is not about being good. It will never be about being good. As long as it's about being good, you are going to be living in defeat. You will not work that way. But when you say, God, I resign, I quit, I can't do this, I'm stuck. You have to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He will prompt you. And when you sense Him, you say, Spirit, help. You know what? God gave me a tutorial. It's a portable tutorial. Wherever I go, I can learn to listen to the Holy Spirit because He gave me kind of a test model, a kind of this test to help me learn how to do this. It's called my wife. We'll be sitting and talking, and I'll just be saying stuff, and all of a sudden I'll feel this little kick, like right there, just like, you know. And I'll know, there's a couple, and we don't talk about this much, but I just know. One, I'm full of crap, or two, I'm being a jerk, okay, or three, I just said something that was insensitive, and I thought it was funny, and it's not funny to somebody. Who's it not funny to, okay? All of a sudden, I have this sensitivity tutorial, okay? And God gave her to me. She's wonderful. She's always right when she kicks me. It's like, okay, what did I not get? I just missed something. I was an idiot. I'm a jerk. Where was I a jerk? I don't even know where I was a jerk. If I knew where I was a jerk, I wouldn't have been a jerk, but I was a jerk. That's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God goes, guess what? And you know what? You can go, yeah, I'm going to take you out if you kick me one more time. That's the one option. And then you'll be divorced. And that's not good. And the Spirit of God just kind of prompts you and kicks you, right? You can either ignore Him or you can respond to Him. This past week, I was doing a conference up in near Washington, D.C. Flew back to Knoxville and drove to Myrtle Beach. Okay, I'm a glutton for mileage punishment. And so I did that, though. And I was in D.C., and the guy I was with had a GPS that came with the rental car, okay? And this GPS, I didn't know where I was going. He didn't know where he was going. He shut the thing off. I said, why'd you shut it off? He goes, I'm just going to do it on my own. Pioneer spirit, just shutting Lois off, okay? You know,
recalibrating. You're an idiot. Recalibrate. You don't know where you're going. Follow me and listen to me. Recalibrate.
I'm sitting there thinking, he probably doesn't pay attention when his wife kicks him either, does he? So he turns it off, and we get lost. Finally, we go, okay, we're turning it back on. And she goes, you're a moron. Listen to what I say this time, okay? And so we follow Lois, and we find our way. But that's exactly what we do, isn't it? We shut off the GPS. We shut off the Holy Spirit. He's prompting. He's leading. He says, I don't condemn you. If you think it's condemnation, you don't understand me. It's conviction. It's prompting. I love you. And when you open your life to Him, you're saying, Spirit of God, I need you. I long for you. I cry out to you. I want you to empower me. I want you to help me to live differently. And you'll have an appetite for one thing or the other. You're either going to have an appetite for listening more to the Spirit of God because He's leading you and prompting you, or you're going to have an appetite for that which just continues to destroy your life. Have you noticed how appetites work? What you feed, the appetite grows. Have you ever sat down with a bag of Lay's potato chips and a movie? And if those chips aren't history by about the time the guy meets the girl, I don't know what, it just happens. It's like, come here, honey. No way. And so you're just sitting there with the, you know, goo on your hands. Why? Because you just can't stop eating those darn chips. You don't care what they are. Doritos, it just happens. What you feed grows. If you have an appetite for the flesh, it will continue to take you down. You remember some of those people you played high school basketball with or football with, and they could smoke and do drugs and do the girls and do the but then now they're in rehab or they're dead. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I went to high school that are just dead. Dead. I mean, dead. Game over. You're finished. Why? Because the appetite for destruction just continued on. Or you can have an appetite for the Spirit of God, which lifts you above it. You've got your choice. What are you going to do? See, this is huge stuff. This is not small stuff. This is huge stuff. A year ago, this weekend, I had something happen to me that just rocked me. I was speaking and teaching, and we were in this series called The Ghost. And I was teaching on this same kind of topic. And God moved, and there was like 75 people that responded that day. And one of the guys that responded was a 15-year-old boy who gave his life to Christ that day. And an hour and a half went swimming at the swing bridge and never came back up again. His name was Kevin. Don't know if you remember that story. The weekend after school was out, he died. Kevin was on a search for God. The Bible tells us to number our days correctly so our hearts will be wise. We don't know how long we have to live. We do not know how long we have to live. None of us do. You don't. I don't. We don't know. And a good life is not measured by how many years you live. A life is measured by if you are allowing the spirit of sin and death to take you down or if you're allowing the spirit of life to give you buoyancy. Kevin said, I'm on a hunger search for God. And the spirit of God was pursuing him. And the spirit of God knew that that was the day that he was going to be done. But Kevin responded that day, gave his life to Christ, and drowned. Now, that doesn't happen all the time. That doesn't happen very often at all to me, that someone responds just hours later and they die. But it can happen to any of us. The reason you respond to the Spirit of God is not that. You don't know how long you have to live, but that's you do it because the Spirit of God wants to give you life, not just in this life, but in eternity. Because this life and eternity, the Bible indicates that there really is no difference, that when you give your life to Christ, this life and eternity, that's just a blip on the radar screen. It says the moment you stop your last breath here, you're fully alive in eternity. So you don't have this laying in the tomb going in the ground going, no, man, I wish they'd hurry up. Man, they're, you know, because this life and eternity just continues on. And he says, because of that, it matters what you do. Life does matter. How you think, I want to give you life, and I want to give you buoyancy. I don't want to give you death, because death is all around you. This is the remedy for death. It's not about being good. Get over the good, bad thing. Live differently by allowing the Spirit of God just to work in your life. And how do you do that with a four-letter word? What is it? Help. Say it again. Help. Not help me, not help me do better, but just what? Let's pray together. As you just bow your heads and take a moment right now, I would encourage you right where you are just to say help. Stop the help me. Stop the help I want to get better. Stop the help I'm incrementally getting better. Stop the help I want to stop doing that bad thing so I want to get a little bit better. Just help. Just I resign. Just help. Just I need you help. I don't know what to do. Help. I've got so much death weighing me down. Help. I don't know where you are in your life, but you just need to cry out help. I need to cry out help. And it's at that point that life begins and things begin to be different because the Spirit of God wants us to rush in right then and he wants to fill you with his presence and he wants to say, you can be different, not by being different or trying to be different or being gooder or not badder, but just help. Just help. I need you, Jesus. Help. Right where you are, right there. Will you just respond as God prompts you? Help. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer, but today you're ready to respond right where you are. Without looking around, would you just, if the Spirit of God has prompted you to say, you know what, I've been doing the help me. I've been trying to be better. I don't even know why I keep going to church. But today I want to give my life to you, Jesus. I want you to work in me and make me different right where you are. Just would you say, and I'm just going to raise your hand in a moment. But just to say, Jesus, I've been doing the help me. I've been trying to get incrementally better. I need your power. Holy Spirit, work in me. Change me. This is my call for help. If that's your heart, would you just raise your hand right now, right where you are? Just say, I've been saying help me way too long. Just help. Just help. Help. All over the room. I just want to pray for you right now. Holy Spirit, just as we just confess and just wave the white flag, I just pray that we would just resign as God, and that you would just work in our lives to change us, to make us different, make us new. We are so sorry we've been trying to be better people, more moral people. We just need your power. Spirit, fill us and change us. We want to be different. We are your people. Spirit, just work in our lives right now. Just sweep across this room. God, do what no man or woman can do. Do what no speaker or band or just what you can do. Spirit of God, just move right now. Just breathe on us. Lord, we have felt your breath down our neck, but we just want to fully face you and respond to you and say, Jesus, here I am. Breathe on me. Spirit of God, just breathe on me. Just change me. Help. Help. The law of death has been ruling and reigning far too long. Today I declare help, because I want the spirit of life in Christ Jesus to set me free from the law of sin and death, because there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in you, Jesus. I don't stand condemned today. I stand forgiven. Condemnation is of the enemy. I will not accept it any longer. I'm going to live differently. Fill me, Jesus, with your power. It's through your power that we pray. Amen.